I could recognize him by touch alone, by smell. I would know him blind, by the way his breaths came and his feet struck the earth. I would know him in death, at the end of the world.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you all of the internet's most popular books and all the ones your friends are sending you on TikTok and letting you know whether you should take the time out of your busy schedule to give them a read. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. And this week we are diving into an author we've already reviewed before. And we're going to review her first ever novel, which was The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. We have all read Circe and we reviewed it on this podcast. It was one of our like first episodes, I feel like. It was pretty early on in our journey. And Madeline Miller has just had hits. Like both of them have been book talk recommended. Tried and true. They always stay around. So yeah, it follows the story of, you guessed it, Achilles, but it's told from the perspective of his friend and partner, Patroclus. He is a son of a prince, but he gets exiled because he kills a boy. And he gets exiled to Achilles' father's kingdom. And so Patroclus and Achilles meet when they're boys, and it follows their journey from boyhood to adulthood as the Trojan War comes about. And if you know the story of Achilles, the ankle, that's why your Achilles is the way, that's why it's called that. It's your Achilles tendon. It's your weak spot because that's the spot in which he's killed. Yeah. I don't know what else to say without kind of spoiling it, but it just basically follows their love story because Madeline Miller takes the approach that they were in love. Okay, well, to get us started, do y'all have any reviews?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a 4-star written by Gen Z or Gen Alpha, maybe. You'll see.
Okay.
4 stars. Achilles is literally beyond narcissistic. Patroclus is Delulu. Both of them have no agency or personality, but it's enjoyable if you ignore all of that.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's a 4-star review?
It's enjoyable if you ignore all of that.
That's the whole plot.
Yeah.
I just liked the use of Delulu. That's why I chose it.
You're right. That is totally a Gen Z or a Gen Alpha person.
Yeah, it is.
Although I don't think Gen Alpha should be reading this book.
No,
they're like 12.
I mean, it's not a hard book to read, but it's written at a higher level.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Some adult themes.
I feel like this is a book that gets banned in libraries. I'm just going to say
probably.
100%. It's an LGBTQ love story, which I think we already mentioned, but
yes,
you know,
if it wasn't obvious between me saying Patroclus and Achilles love story.
Yeah.
Patroclus is a man.
So I have 3 I want to read. And part of the reason I want to read all, they're laughing because I didn't have a review, even one, until like literally 2 minutes ago. And now I have 3.
You had to pause the episode for her to find one. And instead, somehow in that
she found three.
The reason I want to read all 3 is because they all follow the same theme. And it is exactly how I felt after I read this book. So they're all 5 stars. The first one. Every time it causes me pain, and I love the pain nevertheless. Said, yep.
Yep.
The second one. First read, don't touch me. Second read, first of you still stands. Yep. And then last one. Sometimes after I read a book, I wonder why the book was written. This one, I know. This book was written to lure in depressed readers seeking a wholesome LGBTQ story, then catch them in a moment of vulnerability and slaughter them. It was bait. We fell into the trap, and now I'm dead.
Okay. I understand what they're saying, because it is a very tragic story. But, girl, did you not know going in that they both die? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not a spoiler.
Like, very common knowledge that they both die. Yeah.
It's the Trojan War.
I do stand by what she says, though, because so I read Circe, which is Madeline Miller's other book, before I read this book. And Circe is a very emotional novel, And I still feel like I was not prepared for Song of Achilles. Like, Song of Achilles really effed me up a little bit.
No, I read Song of Achilles first. So then when we were like, we should do Circe, I was like, here we go. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I will say this. I feel like because Circe is a nymph and like a goddess, like she's farther removed from humanity and human experience. So like, this is very human, this book. It's very human nature. It's surrounded by humans.
Circe's so, also just got a little bit of like lighthearted humor. Not necessarily humor. It's just, I don't know.
Scott doesn't have really humor, but like, I feel like she was more far removed. So there was less trauma compared to this book.
I mean, I don't know. But
I do feel like Circe was more of a coming of age. This book is technically still a coming of age, but it's really like,
and death.
Even from the beginning, it's very focused on the love story. Circe's book is more about her. And the love story doesn't come till the very end. So I do also think that just changes things. Anyway, we're actually very far off track right now.
Yeah, I need to read my review. Okay.
Per usual.
Yeah.
Well, my review, I went to the one stars and it took me a while to find one that I found agreeable. Stop being a homophobe, people in the reviews. Slay. Okay, one star. Less than a saga, more of a sword and sandals bodice ripper.
I don't know. But hey, you like what you like, I guess.
Yeah, Fiona Murray left that review.
Did she not like this book?
No, she did.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, she joins the majority. Because the majority are on Goodreads, the rating is 4.3 out of 5. And on Amazon, it's 4.6 out of 5. So that's a high praise for a novel. What do y'all have as your star ratings?
I'll start because I read this 2 years ago. and I looked back at my review and I gave it 3 stars at the time. I feel like had I read it after Circe, I would have rated it higher, probably. I don't know. It was just so depressing. Like, it's really beautiful, but it just wasn't my story. Like, I think I have a lot more respect for it now after reading Circe too, because, I don't know, I think you got to read both of them because they're so, her voice is just unique.
They're interconnected.
They are. Yes. So I don't know. I gave it a 3 at the time.
Damn. Well, I gave it a 5 because it's a phenomenal book. Like one of the Madeline Miller is one of the best writers of this generation. Like coming out and saying that now. And what she has done to retell Greek myths should be like applauded all over the world. Like this is exactly what we need in this space of retelling these history, because it's not history, it's myth. So you can take creative license with it and it allows for more diverse voices into the equation. And I'm freaking in love with it.
I agree with you. Oh yeah, I gave it 5 stars. I think it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. Madeline Miller is one of the only authors that's like an automatic read for me now. I mean, this book like really devastated me. Like it actually devastated me. It was, and you know how it ends. This is like a myth that like very many people are aware
of. And you know I don't like sad books. I say that every time.
It's so beautifully written.
But it's so pretty.
Catherine, I agree with you. I think Madeline Miller is an author who is borderline unparalleled to me. And I loved it.
Yeah, I will automatically pick up a Madeline Miller book. And I think she's coming out with another one. So like, I definitely will read that.
Okay, I was looking into that. So she posted 2 years ago that she thought she was working on The Tempest, but however, Persephone grabbed her. So she's been writing Persephone. However, her Instagram also shows she has been dealing with long COVID for 4 years and like several weeks ago got actual COVID again.
Oh my God.
I don't think we need to rush her on
that. No, I'm not rushing.
No, I know, but we might be waiting a bit.
I love Persephone. Damn. She's one of my favorite Greek characters because she is so undertold. Like, her origin story is literally just Hades's origin story, which is just kind of like bullshit to me. I would love a Persephone point of view.
Yeah. Well, it looks like that's what we're getting eventually when she, her life is back on track.
Totally fair.
Take to your time, queen.
All right. Well, is the book more plot or character driven?
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
This one's actually hard. I think if we're just talking the Patroclus point of view, it's character driven. However, I think when you include Achilles, that's where the plot comes in. That's where things are moved forward every time, is because of Achilles.
I think it's technically plot driven. Like, there's a lot of character development, but like the main storyline is about fate and free will versus fate and destiny. And everything is happening to them and they just can't escape it, even though they really want to. So I think it's technically more plot, which Circe is more character driven. So this one's definitely the more gray area one. But yeah, I think it's plot.
I agree with both of you. I'm very torn because I, like Caitlin, I agree that the parts of like Patroclus, I always struggle to say his name. The part of his perspective does feel very character driven, which is part of why this book is so interesting, is because he's the main character, but he's really like a sidecar to Achilles. And Achilles' life is very plot driven. Like, he's a, you know, a child of a god and like all that stuff, and he's fated and the gods foretell all these things that he's going to do. So there's really like a tension there, and I struggle to like side either way because it's one of those books where like the plot is in the background. It's more about Patroclus and Achilles' life together and them growing up together and then like slowly falling in love. So the romance is like actually more character driven, I think, but there is sort of the background plot, which is like the actual points of the myth.
We have read her other main novel, Circe. She does have a short story published called like Galatea, I think.
Yeah.
Have not read that one, but
I would read it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd all pick up any one of her books.
Yeah. Right. I mean, take your time, but I would love another Madeline.
Bring me Persephone, babe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I will devour that. Okay. What about the pacing of the book?
Oh, it's phenomenal. there's no question. It's phenomenally paced. Like, because I think she has hit a gold mine, because the myths you already like, for some reason, Western culture is obsessed with Greek myths. And we know everything about like the baseline of Greek myths. We all knew who Achilles was before we read this book. I knew who Patroclus was just as he was the sidekick to Achilles. That's how I learned it in school. So like, she's hit a gold mine where she can really pace the book around the myth, but also add in the depth to it of a new character perspective. So like, she's literally struck gold with this pacing model.
I did not have a problem with the pacing, but I can see how some people would, just because I just feel like Madeline Miller writes these like such in-depth scenes that I do feel like you just have to be prepared for like a slower paced novel. It's just not an action propelled plot. Everything is about the characters' interactions, their reflections. So I thought like for that kind of book, it had a great pace and I was never bored, but you know, not everyone likes that kind of book.
Like I said, I read this 2 years ago. It took me almost a week to read, according to my reading log. However, I don't remember ever being bored. Like, I think it's a, like you've said, I think it's well-paced. I think you get what you expect. And you're never saying, I wish I wasn't reading this.
Never. Would you watch a movie or TV show about this book?
This would be an amazing movie. Oh, I would love to see it.
Wow, that was...
Y'all,
that was completely that was diametrically crazy. Opposed. Yeah.
Okay. It's been done too many times in cinema. I just
but not this
it.
Way.
I side with Catherine on this one. I would devour... Oh my gosh. If the right production company had this script, oh my God. Oh, I'm so, sorry. It would...
A24.
The same thing I always say. Literally, it's so predictable. I'm sorry, but Call Me By Your Name Who? This movie would like obliterate Call Me By Your Name as like the iconic.
However,
LGBT.
Hollywood is largely homophobic and it wouldn't be a blockbuster anyway.
Whatever. It'd be a blockbuster in my heart.
That was a hot take on just the state of Hollywood, but...
Hey, in this world, we have red, white, and royal blue. We can have this.
True.
Because I feel like lately, there has been a lag in a lot of the Greek retellings since, like, I think the last ones were in, like, the early 2010s, 2011, 2012. And they're always, like, the man war epic, man point of view. Like,
they're like,
war. They are currently remaking Percy Jackson. How dare you forget that?
Okay, but that's modern day. Like, when I'm saying retellings of, like, Greek era, I mean, like, actual, like, Greek era.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
all action movies, which I don't want.
This is truly a love story with the backdrop being war.
Yeah.
I think this would be the most fascinating retelling of the Achilles story for film.
Yeah. Caitlin is at a loss, but...
Well, that may be true. I probably still am not. I think the the book reads like poetry, and I think you lose that in film. So I stick with, I'll just read the book again.
Fair enough. All right. Busy girl reading.
I think it's a 5 for me, but that's kind of obvious. So, Caitlin?
I'm going to go like a 4. I don't think it's for everyone. Someone mentioned earlier, it's a little more high level of a read because it does sort of read poetically and it does really dive into some history. But so I'd say it's not for everyone, but anyone who will enjoy it will enjoy it. So I'll give it a 4.
I do have, I think, a surprising take. I'm going to give it a 4. The reason is because it knocked me out. Like, clear your schedule. You're going to be sad. Like, if you don't want to feel emotion, don't read it because you will feel such emotion.
Still sad about it 2 years later.
Yeah. When I think about it, it like fills me with this deep sense of like longing and melancholy. Like, it is not for the faint of heart. And sometimes, like, I just can't be sad. Like, I can't read a book that's going to make me sad. So that's the only reason I'll give it a 4.
That's very fair.
Can you imagine that being your first book?
Oh my God.
Yeah, knock you out by the knees.
Like, she wrote that as her first book. That's crazy.
Insane talent.
Okay.
I want to know who her editor is because everybody needs to hire that woman or man or person.
I don't know the answer, but I do know it's time for our spoiler alert section. There's not a lot of spoilers because it's a Greek myth, but still go take your time and read it because it's a lovely, actually, if you're like me and you hate sad books, don't read it, but like it's still worth the read. You'll be sad though.
I was like, no, don't tell them to not read it.
I don't like sad books. I'm glad I read it, but I'm still sad. Okay. Go cry, come back for the second half of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
What did y'all think of this retelling of the Iliad?
I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a surprise at this point in the episode, but the thing I always struggled with, because we were all, you know, like mythology kids. Like, I loved mythology. I found it so fascinating.
You can say it. We were nerds.
We were huge fucking nerds. But the part that I think always disappointed me is I loved women's stories in Greek mythology. Even as a kid, I was really pulled in by like the women's narratives. And it's not that I didn't like learning about Zeus and Poseidon, but I also wanted to learn about Athena, and I also wanted to learn about Persephone and Artemis. And I think looking back, one of the reasons I stopped being so into mythology is I was really just not finding the sort of like deep female narratives that I wanted to read. And so, you know, reading Circe and reading Madeline Miller is like what I wanted to find when I read about mythology. Song of Achilles is, you know, not about women. It's an LGBTQ story, but Madeline
still
Miller,
a voice to voices that are not traditionally heard in Greek myths.
Exactly. It's not told from this super masculinist, conquer focused, fame and glory focused perspective. And that to me just like enriched so much and adds so much depth and color to older stories.
Well, and to be fair, like even the women in this book are very powerful and they have depth. Like even though we don't meet Helen of Troy, we get this idea of her from Patroclus that's different from the narrative that we got where she's just really, really beautiful and that's it. And that she was kidnapped. It was like, he's like, no, I think she was really smart because now she's the woman who sailed 1,000 ships. Like she is playing this up. She is more powerful than anyone else on the planet. And like, we don't even meet her and that's cool. And then Briseis, of course, is super cool.
Achilles' mom has a lot of agency in the book.
Yep.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she's raped and then gives birth to Achilles, like, but she's the one who basically raises him.
Right. But you also just in the normal, you know, you've heard of Achilles. You'd never heard of her until this book. At least I personally hadn't. So like,
no.
At least she's a person, you know?
Yeah. And there is still like kind of a deep discussion of sexism in the book because they still discuss the slave girls and the servant girls.
Yeah.
And what happens to them. And of course, with Briseis, it takes the perspective of like Achilles and Patroclus kind of make this like safe haven for them, but it also talks about the way they were victimized in their society and the fact that the whole reason Patroclus is kicked out of his home in the first place is because he kills someone else's son. And I remember it really vividly. There's a line in the book about how you can kill people's daughters, but you can't kill people's sons. So, yeah, it's very much like interwoven into the culture.
What about, so we get this story from Patroclus's POV. What did you think about our main character and his pining after his bestie?
He was just like, even as a boy, so intuitive. And like, instead of, I find that a lot of like male characters in movies or in TV shows are like, do first, think later, where they just kind of like do things before they even think about them. Instead, he's like, in the beginning of the book, it's talking about Helen of Troy or Helen's marriage basically to Agamemnon. And he's just 9 years old in the back watching all these suitors vie for her. And he notices things about them. Like he notices Odysseus and being clever and sly and like says like there's more going on behind there. Like he's 9 years old, but he's noticing this. And I thought that was like a really cool introduction to him of just like him seeing the inner workings of this political system and noticing the differences in each of the suitors and saying like this guy may be brawny, but he's not very bright, or like just understanding of society, but he also feels outcasted by society because then he kills a son, he gets exiled. And he's put into this place where Achilles finds him. And because he's different, Achilles brings him out to be his bonded pair. I forget what it's specifically called, but to be his person, basically, to help him out. And so I thought he was super unique. Like, I've never seen this telling of Patroclus. And I also just think he's like a unique male character. Like, I enjoyed reading his perspective.
I also enjoyed the take on a softer male. You know, he's not trying to go off to war and win glory, and he's not a demigod. I mostly liked him. I did at sometimes find him a little like whiny. Sometimes it's like, dude, just say it, you know? he wasn't a perfect person. And he didn't come across perfect. So he had his flaws. But yeah, sometimes I was like, dude, just use your words. Just say what you mean.
Right. No, Madeline Miller has mastered the lovable but deeply flawed character.
Oh, yeah.
Which goes for Achilles as well.
Oh, yes.
Big time.
So flawed.
But yeah, I'd echo the things that you guys have already said. I personally, like, oh my God, my kink as a reader is stories told from the perspective that would normally not be the main character.
Yes.
So that's another big thing in Circe, is she is sort of this like irrelevant nymph and would never have been, you know, quote unquote, the hero in many narratives of the story. And that's something else I loved about this. Like, even if most people wanted to write a romantic retelling of Achilles and Patroclus, they would have written it from Achilles' perspective. Like, he's the hero. He's the main character. So I really just like that she kind of refocused on someone else and didn't just kind of tell this same type of narrative.
When you got to see Achilles' flaws better that way, and he had a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you saw how someone loved him despite that.
Yeah.
And like, well, if he was the main character, he would have been like, I'm great. I'm Achilles.
Yeah. It softens Achilles a lot, because Patroclus talks about how he changes over time, but also how he sees his inner self. And also, like, especially when you're giving it the hero's traditional quote unquote point of view, the hero tends to be pretty flat as a character, especially if you're giving them the point of view, because they're following this traditional hero's journey. When you give it to the people around them, they see the hero a lot differently than the hero even sees themselves, because you see it in Achilles throughout the book where he's like, I have to have glory. I have to have this god power. I have to have recognition and the legend to stake my name on. But Patroclus sees behind the legend and looks at him a lot differently. So I think that was masterfully done to not give it to Achilles, like you said, Casey.
All right. Okay. So one of the big characters in the book is Achilles' mom, who is a little crazy. she's definitely...
Like I said, she has some agency.
Yeah.
Maybe too much.
Mm-hmm. A little too much.
Definitely an immortal.
She does not care about humans.
Say that. Yep. So she has all these schemes and interferes all the time. And she is like, just like a very unlikable character, but you also see her perspective as a mom. So yeah. And then she like tries to like impregnate like Demia, however you say her name. And it's just, she's very involved and she almost gets them killed and is kind of crazy. So what did y'all think of her?
I mean, like you said, she's an immortal, and it's definitely clear. Like, I'm so happy I read Circe first, because I got this immortal perspective that you don't totally get in Song of Achilles. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated Song of Achilles even more, because I saw like the little hints of things that I saw in Circe.
Mm-hmm.
Thetis is just like, I appreciate her more because of Cersei. Like, bad bitch energy, does not give a shit about humanity, but she cares about her son until he no longer serves her purpose. And then she drops him like it's hot. Like, it's very immortal of her. And I'm so here for this immortal retelling.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have the immortal perspective first, so I just thought she was an annoying bitch. but I respected that she was like a mama bear, and she's like, no, this is what my son is fated for, and it will happen.
Yeah. I did feel for her. I mean, you hate her because she is very against Patroclus, and we're in Patroclus's head, and so we also know that, like, actually, like, he's doing a lot to protect Achilles and keep Achilles grounded. But his mom also really wants him, Achilles, to achieve glory. And that's one of her more unlikable traits, is because you're like, okay, you're not really caring about your son. Like, you're hoping to achieve fame and status through him. But then, because Madeline Miller is a goddess herself, Thetis gets her own sort of redemption arc, and then kind of allows Patroclus to be laid to rest with Achilles. And it's like the very final chapter, and it's like sort of beautiful. It's almost like their grieving process has been able to end together.
You can see that she truly that cared about him.
Yeah, without that redemption arc, I probably would have thrown the book across the room.
Yeah. I would have been very mad, especially because we get Achilles' son that she kind of forced upon him and forced mm-hmm. him to impregnate this girl on Skyros.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
And he's like the worst human being possible because she raised him. And so if an immortal raises a human and he's not around other humans, he's not going to act like a human. And so,
but he's not immortal, so he gets his shit wrecked.
So you don't like him wrecked. Because you like Patroclus, and you're like,
yeah. And
I
so,
don't want any of that straight romance.
I like when she redeemed it with, like, basically saying, like, yeah, he didn't turn out very well either. He's dead. And then she was just like, she listened to Patroclus as he was like ghost form, and then allowed mm-hmm. him to pass on with Achilles, and saying like, he's waiting for you, kind of thing. I was like, okay, I forgive you now.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Okay. What about, so you both read Circe first. I did not, but Circe, a big portion involves Odysseus. And we see Odysseus in this book, and it's the same Odysseus because it's the same author. So we see a little more about him. Personally, when he appeared in Circe, I was like, oh, I know what this guy's up to. How did you guys enjoy seeing that little overlapping cameo?
Oh, piece of shit.
I loved that he was in this book.
Yeah.
This is why you need to read, like, Madeline Miller A needs to write more books, and everyone needs to read them all, is because they're all written in the Greek mythology universe. You get those, like, Easter eggs that you can then, like, be like, oh my god, like, that's so funny, this is just what he's like. I do think that reading Circe first is the right decision. Especially because you really appreciate this scene in a different way. But yeah, I mean, Odysseus sucks. And, you know, that's just because, you know, male heroes suck.
Yeah.
You got the Iliad, you got the Odyssey.
Yep. Uh-huh. She's done Iliad and Odyssey.
And then you see the other side and you're like, oh.
I freaking loved when Odysseus was, because he was first introduced in the first part of the book, and we kind of barely see him. And I was like, okay, fine. Moving on. And then he unveils Achilles at Skyros, and Achilles almost immediately trusts him and, like, is believes his, like, facade. But Patroclus looks and says, no, he's hiding something. He's a master manipulator. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, the king that you are, Patroclus. Yes, thank you. He is a master manipulator. And
Achilles is saying, this is the glory I am set to have, is what this guy has. So he's like, I need to be like him.
But also, like, he's blind. Like, Achilles is very just blind to people's facades and personas.
Sweet, pretty blonde boy just running into battle.
Yeah. Yes. Patroclus, like I said in the beginning, like, he sees people and he watches before he makes a decision. And I think that is so perfect.
He sees it all.
It is. It's a scene that's I think, again, even more perfect once you've read Circe, because Patroclus, again, I cannot say his name. He sees Odysseus the way Circe eventually saw Odysseus. Like, the things in that book, because Odysseus is actually a really big part of Circe's story. And she spends so much time with him. It's like Patroclus saw his flaws, whereas Achilles saw the hero. And it's just such a good, like, representation of who they are as people and where they're going that, oh, divine.
I mean, when you give a man power and fame, they're going to abuse it.
I mean, often.
Yeah.
In Greek myths.
In Greek there you go.
Yeah.
I'll add the qualifier.
So the hero's journey, as Catherine has kind of mentioned, is a big part of this book. And in typical Greek myths, the hero's journey is sort of lauded. Most heroes in Greek myths have sort of a peak and a downfall, but they start off as these, like, scrappy little children of gods trying to make a name for themselves. And this book is no different, but this book tells it differently because we sort of see the folly of the hero's journey and the way it sort of victimizes Achilles and forces him to become something else. He almost has to sort of, like, sacrifice himself to become the hero. And that's something that I thought was really deep of watching Patroclus watch someone he really loves kind of excise themselves and change themselves to achieve something. So yeah, what did you guys think of the hero's journey in the book and the sort of tension between destiny and choice with Achilles?
I found this one unique because I feel like a lot of times when we're reading a hero's journey, we are reading about them fighting against fate. And Achilles in this is absolutely trying to achieve what has been laid out for him and foreseen for him. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of Patroclus who's kind of like, wait, hold on. I just think it was an interesting way to flip it, you know, instead of fighting fate, like, these are demigods vying for glory. So I don't know. I just thought it was a really unique way to approach that. And Achilles really had no desire to make his own choices.
Yeah. It didn't seem like he had much free will, but I thought it was interesting because if he was fighting fate in this book, it wouldn't feel right because we already know the ending, which makes it hard. But Madeline Miller does a beautiful job where she just, like, he's not fighting his fate. It's only Patroclus who's, like, saying, like, you don't have to kill Hector. Why would you kill him? And then Achilles is, like, agreeing, like, why? Yeah, why would I kill him? And I'm like, oh, sweet honey, like, you gotta kill your love. Like, I know this already. Yeah. But it's all foreshadowing the ending instead of trying to fight the ending.
It's also, like, it really, so by this point in the book, you're, like, in love. You know, you're committed to the relationship. The characters have won you over. You've been with them through a lot already. But it's like a slow motion train crash or a slow motion car crash. Like, because you as the reader know what is going to happen. You know that Patroclus is going to die and then Achilles is going to die. And so it's like that tension is there of just, like, clenching your teeth together, like, knowing that they're not going to prevent this and being able to see it when the characters can't.
What about, you know, we're kind of talking about fate and it all kind of comes to fruition at the battle at Troy and the war with Agamemnon. And so what did you think about how the kind of war was portrayed? I know we get the Battle of Troy is so famous, you know, we've seen it all before, but what do you think of this telling of it?
I liked it because everyone in this book was very human. And you can just kind of, I think this book does a good job of showing that there's, like, not really any winners in a war, you know, like, the Trojans technically won, but Achilles is destroyed. It's like this whole beautiful relationship is gone. They're all dead. All of these people have, like, lost sons. It's, like, really sad. So yeah, I thought that part was good.
I think technically Troy lost.
Oh, whatever. Sorry. I'm not into the details.
No, you're fine.
Everybody died.
But everyone yeah. dies. Like
everybody dies.
They talk about in the book that the king of Troy had 50 sons and 50 daughters, and he only had one son left by the end of the war. So 49 of his sons died.
Yeah. And even Achilles and Patroclus spend years in this war camp fighting this yeah. war.
It's like, grueling. It's grueling. Right.
And then you have the slaves that are misplaced, captured, turned into concubines and things. And like mm-hmm. everybody is affected, and you see every side of it kind yeah. of, because Patroclus is just watching all of it.
Well, because it's so weird, because you when you're reading it outside of this book, in like just the Greek myths, it's very cut and dry. Like, you don't really take sides. You're just reading the myth. In this one, you're truly taking a side, which is the Greek side, because that's the side you're reading about. But because, like, you see Patroclus and Achilles both agree with the logic of Agamemnon needs to fight back because his wife was stolen from him. And whether or not you agree with that, that is the inciting incident. But then you see Agamemnon do exactly what Paris did to him, to other women, and there's no recourse, and he doesn't see what he's doing is wrong. And that's when Apollo curses him for stealing a bride of a priest or priestess of Apollo. And then they curse them with a plague. And it's like, and he was shocked that he was the one who caused this. It's like, yeah, you did exactly what was done to you, and you don't expect repercussions. Like, it was very interesting, because then it made it even more gray.
From that outside POV, you get to see all of these heroes of Greek tales, all their flaws and everything they've done wrong. Like, you probably wouldn't see that if it wasn't from Patroclus' point of view.
Yeah. And I really, in particular, loved the way it shows how everyone is sort of held hostage by the people in power. Like, Agamemnon was not the best leader, and he made poor choices, and he was kind of like a villainous person, but they all have to follow him. And you see this sort of political game, because they're trying to win favor, and it matters who the men are backing and who they're loyal to. And like, whoever has more power based on those things is just like forced to go along. And that brings us to Briseis,
I think.
Briseis,
yeah.
Oh, Lord, these Greek names. But yeah, so Briseis is captured. She was either the princess or the queen of one of the captured cities, and is given to Achilles. And Achilles is like, or Patroclus is like, we need to protect this girl somehow. And Achilles is kind of like, okay, I guess. And so then they kind of go through with like taking her in, but like, you know, they're both gay, so she's technically like their sex slave, and then she kind of becomes part of their family instead. What did y'all think about that, and how Achilles changed with that?
I thought it was really interesting, because I knew about Briseis, because like other retellings have her as the lover of Achilles. That's mm-hmm. kind of what has been displayed in Western media of this story. I thought it was interesting, because it gave Patroclus a thing to do, because he wasn't a fighter. He created a school. He was essentially a teacher for these enslaved women, to teach them the Greek language and to give them something to do and something for him to do. And I thought that was the most perfect part of the book for him, where it's just like he found a purpose in his life outside of Achilles, which is important for self-worth and everything. While also it's juxtaposed with Achilles slowly kind of losing pieces of his soul, because he just keeps killing and killing and killing. And he's kind of enjoying it, because it's just like the adrenaline of the battlefield and like the honor and legend that he's getting. And so it was an interesting part of the book to like juxtapose the two.
And you're right. It's the first time Patroclus shows any sort of initiative, really. And that's like a big character swing for him. And he starts actually acting on things, which, you know, in the end didn't work out so great. But I don't know. It was a weird little love triangle family thingy, but also it was like kind of sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like the start of Achilles's downfall is when it looks like everything might be okay. And then nah.
No. Yeah. Because in this telling, Briseis falls in love with Patroclus because he kind of saves her. Like, Achilles is kind of at his most unlikable in this part of the book. Mm-hmm. And Patroclus is like at his most likable because he kind of develops a little bit more of a backbone. But Achilles is, yeah, he's like all about the war. He was like, why would we bother with slave girls? And Patroclus was like, well, they're people.
Weird.
Yeah.
Women.
Because like Achilles throughout the whole book is so disinterested in other humans. And it's obvious. So it's not like a bad thing that he's like oblivious, but also Patroclus is like, yeah, it's a bad thing you're oblivious.
Yeah. So I liked it. Briseis, whatever, is one of my like favorite retellings from a different author as well. So it was really fascinating to get to see her from like another person's point of view. But yeah, so the ending, the devastation, we all knew it was coming, and then we were all sad when it happened. Patroclus dies wearing Achilles' armor, and then, you know, things happen after. Eventually, Achilles is killed. What did you think of the ending of Achilles' son being the worst person in the world, and then Patroclus finally getting peace with Achilles?
God, I really thought when I was reading this book, because it was like the last few pages with Thetis, I really thought he was just never going to get rest and he would just have to roam the earth waiting to finally be put with Achilles. And I'd be like, yeah, your son's an ass, Achilles. You never met him, but he seems to think that he knows what's best for you.
Yeah, it was like a marathon of sadness.
That's a good way to describe it.
I don't think I actually knew much about Patroclus. And I actually knew very little about Achilles other than like, you know, his weakness and stuff. So I was like, oh, shoot. I don't think I actually knew they were both going to die. So that was a bummer for me. Maybe why I disliked the book more. So sad. All the main characters die. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
And also, it was written where you felt the heartbreak.
Yeah, so acutely. And so Patroclus dies, and that's not the end of the book.
No.
There's which several... I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
He's like a ghost watching the train wreck happen.
And I'm not sure I liked that either, but also how else are you going to continue the story to the end?
Yeah, you can't switch perspectives at this point.
Yes. And so then the main character who you really like is gone, and you just have to watch the pain and the mistakes of his surviving lover continue on. Once more to an ending you already know that is coming. It's excruciating. Oh my God, it's so painful. And you guys are right. I didn't know if Patroclus was going to end up being able to be laid to rest properly. And I was ready to burn the book. Like, if she did not fix that ending, I was going to, like, actually, like, terrorize this woman.
I know. The son was like, huh, nope. Nice try. And then you're like, oh, my gosh. The only hope is Thetis.
Yep.
And then she pulls through.
Finally.
Well, I just love, he was like, I hope that you know that your son is more than the warrior. Like, he is his smile. He is his love of the lyre. He is not just this legendary hero warrior. Like, he is a human who lived. And it was like this super sweet thing.
And in the end, there's only two people who saw that side of him.
Yeah.
And so she helps him out.
Damn. It was like, I didn't think it could get any sadder.
It got sadder.
You get like the happy ending, and it's almost more sad. Oh, because it's so
the ending for sure is.
It's not clear that it is definitely Achilles, but there's these two sets of hands reach out to grab you like an urn through the
Mm-hmm. Oh God, so good, so sad. But I think that's everything. Do you guys have book recommendations?
I mean, obviously Cersei.
Percy Jackson.
Cersei Jackson.
I wasn't gonna say it. I was gonna say Medusa's Sisters. Leave me alone.
Good one. That's okay. A good one.
Medusa's Sisters is a good one. I have recommended this book before, but I'm gonna recommend it again because it's the same story from a different perspective. The Silence of the Girls is a different author, but it's about the conquering of Troy from Brise's perspective. And it's very good because Catherine, like you said, she's portrayed as Achilles' lover, but she was a conquered slave. So women set that record straight.
Well, because I just remember the Brad Pitt movie, and that one felt weird to me. Like, it felt rapey.
Yeah, because it was.
Most of Greek history feels rapey.
Well, but it does feel rapey, but
speaking of Medusa's sisters.
Stop. Oh, that book is so painful.
I've read the Iliad, and nowhere in the Iliad does it say that Briseis and Achilles hook up.
No.
So, yeah.
That was a Western retelling of it. And I'm like, well, we didn't have to do that. Anyway. I'm going to recommend Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to do that.
Yes.
I think if you enjoyed this book, you would enjoy that book. And we love LGBTQ romance. And it's set in Texas, because yeehaw.
Hell yeah.
Also a book I did not love.
I still think that's one of our most contentious episodes.
I know.
You did not like that book.
2v1.
I don't like books that get me all up in my feels the whole time, okay?
Yeah, that one does get you up in your feels.
It's just not my jam. Medusa's Sisters, also in my feels, but it's a harder read, so you have to work harder for it, so it's not quite... You don't get to feel as much.
Yeah, it builds to the feel.
You have to think a lot more.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our discussion. Rate and review our podcast 5 stars, and we want to hear from you. Please let us know in as creative terms as possible how this book crushed your soul. You can do that at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.